I broke a cardinal rule, which is don't be the first one to speak when you're ask if you can volunteer for something, right? So several of us got who have been up here before got an email from Grady last week, and it said, "I'm not telling you you all are second string, but I could, on short notice, we couldn't get anybody from the conference to fill in for me. So can one of you fill in?" And I thought, just don't answer. So a little while later, Bob Dixon rings in. He says, "Nope, can't be there." And then nothing for a little bit. So I answered. I said, "Grady, I got you. You got something you really want to go do on short notice. I want you to do it. Go and do it. But I don't have anything prepared. So let's just wait and see if one of these other guys ring in." So you know Grady, right? He likes fishing. As soon as I nibbled, wham! And here I am. So I've done this once or twice before, but it doesn't get any easier. So I'm surprised anybody's here after the game last night, knowing that Grady was out of town. It's interesting, we were up there last night. I went up and we hung around in the atmosphere up there, and it was great. I talked to my daughter. Every single one of the athletic programs up there last night had recruits in town. And the neat thing, especially about a game like that, is they get to take the recruits down on the field before the game. So it's super neat to be able to do that. Now, how many of you watched Game Day yesterday? All right. How many of you actually knew the story of Mark Schlabaugh's dog running out on the field? I didn't know that story, so I learned something from that. If you didn't watch it, go to the ESPN app. There's a story about Mark's chocolate lab when he was writing for the AJC, followed the red coat band into the field, and had to be caught. I guess the players didn't catch him, but they were saying, you know, the dog reaches the 30, the dog's at the 20, the dog runs out of bounds at the 10. So anyways, really, really cute story there. I do want to say this about Grady. I see Deborah sitting here, so Deborah, don't tell Grady I've said anything nice about him. All right? But I do want to say this about Grady. Doesn't Grady have an awesome, happy, positive energy up here? Right? Hey. And I've never seen anybody that can laugh at their own jokes more than me, except for Grady, right? He absolutely does that. So that's great. So when I got this message, I got a little help from a few people, so I sent it out to some of our biblical senseis here, if you will. So Julie Spire, looks like she was at the game because she's not here. Bob Dixon, doesn't look like he's here either. And John Miles as well. So the title of today's message is Five Things Even God Can't Do. So, but I wanted to start with five kind of fun things even God can't do. So Bob Dixon sent me the first idea, which is, if you've seen more than one Chuck Norris movie, right? Not even God can beat Chuck Norris. Not even God can bring an end to the Fast and the Furious series of movies. And I actually looked this up. They are planning to launch Fast and the Furious 8 next year and Fast and the Furious 9 in 2021. All right. Now, this next one's great. And I put it in here because we have this. Because we did our app today, didn't we? Even God can't keep our kids off their apps. Right? And unless it's the Madison FUMC app, and that's all right. But the number one thing that God at least really struggles to do, doesn't he, is get Grady to finish on time. Right? So you can tell him I threw him under the bus, Deborah, but don't tell him I said anything nice about him. All right. So today's message, the five things even God can't do. So, but I wanted to open up the scripture that I think what they put in the bulletin was Jeremiah 32, 17th verse. And it says, "Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arms. Nothing is too hard for you." It's safe to say we worship a God, don't we, that can do anything. That's the God that we know. So I mean, here's a God who can heal the sick. He parts the seas. He breathed life into the existence of the universe, didn't he? All right, but I want to test that premise and have a little bit of fun with that this morning. All right, now you could argue with me things God can't do or things God won't do, and probably a pretty good argument there, but I'm going to take the things God can't do. So let's take a look at the things here that God can't do. Number one is we worship a God that cannot change, right? We worship a God that cannot change. Now, have you ever been playing a game with a child and it's not going their way? What do? They change the rules, don't they? Maybe a spouse, right? My spouse isn't here, so I can say that today. So one day when our son was little, I was playing rock, paper, scissors with him, right? And we go through it three or four times, and it doesn't turn out well for him. He loses the first three or four, and he starts to get frustrated. So on the fourth time, he said, rock, paper, scissors, and he throws up a brand new symbol that I've never seen before. And I said, John, what is that? And he goes, that is poot sauce. It beats everything. So what's the first thing we want to do as human beings, right, when something doesn't go our way, right? We lose at a game. We don't get a ruling we like. Something goes wrong. What do? Right? We say we're going to change the rules. Maybe we're going to rewrite history. Or we say, you know what? I'm going to pack up my marbles and go home. Or I'm going to make up a new symbol. All right? The nice thing about God is he's not going to change. He promises us that he will not pack up his marbles and he's not going to walk away and change the rules on us. As parents, one of the most important things that we can give to our kids is consistency, isn't it? Kids are always testing and pushing their boundaries, right? They're always looking for those limits. And we kind of, like, as children of God, what do? We do that a lot, don't we? We push in and through God's limits. And even if we get out of relationship with God, we know what we need to do to get back into it, right? Because he is unchanging and his word is unchanging. It's a lot like the way we look at our kids. We can get, no matter how mad we get at what they've done, how far out of relationship they've gotten at the moment, we still love them, don't we? There's a term, if you've done any hiking or orienteering or off-road riding or anything, it's called true north, right? There's a magnetic north that moves around a little bit, but there is a point on the earth called true north. And if you follow the direction to true north, you will always get to the same place. And that's the way I look at what God does for us, is he always gives us a true north. And he will always be there for us to get us back on track. So God is solid. God is unchanging. I think in Malachi, it's summed up pretty well. He says, for I am the Lord, I change not. All right, so the second thing, number two, is God cannot turn back time. Now, I'd like to think he probably could somewhere, but how many times have you said or done something and immediately gone, I'd really like to have that back, God, right? How's that working out for you? Because for me, it doesn't work out so well. So, lives can be changed in an instant, right, for things that happen immediately, and God is not going to give us a do-over. One of the things he doesn't tell us, or at least I don't think we're told, is that if you pray hard enough, if you ask him enough times, if you ask him enough ways, if you manipulate stuff around in your head, that he is going to turn back time and let us have a do-over, right? It's just not going to happen. At least it hasn't for me. But if he's not going to turn back time, though, he does tell us what we need to do to move forward from those things, doesn't he? The Bible tells us, what does the Bible tell us? The Bible basically tells us, especially if it's sin-related, to own it. That means to confess it, to repent, to ask for forgiveness, This is our blueprint. And then it tells us to move past. In Philippians, it says, "Brother, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead." Right? So God's telling us what's behind us is behind us. That's one of the great things about Christianity, right? We can be forgiven. Now, I know I've talked to John Miles about this several times. What's interesting here is there's a big difference between forgiveness and consequences. So we can be forgiven, but there still will be consequences for some of our actions. Sometimes consequences are good, but consequences are generally negative, right? It can be a injured relationship. It could mean financial hardship. It could mean worse, right? But God has given us the blueprint for healing, hasn't he? But we always have that promise of forgiveness. Now, I would like to think somehow, some way, in there somewhere, God could turn back time, but I don't think he does. I found this quote. This is not a Bible verse, but it's a quote that I really like here. It says, "Learn from the past, but do not live in it. We cannot undo anything we have done, but we can make decisions today that propel us to the life we want and the healing that we need," right? So there's a blueprint in there to move forward from anything. All right, number three. God cannot withhold his love. Now, my son's not here, all right, but I'm not trying to throw him under the bus, but I got another good John story. Right? Because we can use our love as a weapon, right? Or our friendship, right? We can do that, right? And this is great. John was probably in his poot sauce age, right? Young. And he comes downstairs and he's mad at us because he's been pushing the boundaries again, right? And we've been trying as hard as we can as parents to be consistent here. But he's had enough. So he has handwritten a note on a sticky note and he has stuck it on himself and he has a bag packed. He is leaving. And it says, I can't even remember how he spelled it. It was like F-O-R-E-S-A-I-L, and you can barely read it. It's totally poorly written, and he still can't write today. He got that from me. And he stands by the front door and says, "I am going to be sailed to another family." And Catherine, you know Catherine, she's the supermom. She doesn't even miss a beat. She says, "Wait a second, buddy." She goes into the bedroom, she gets a bag, grabs her purse, and comes out there beside him and says, "All right, if you're going to leave, I have to leave with you because I'm your mom." And he puts his bag down, and he looks at us both, and he looks at us, and he goes, "Oh, man." And he just turned around and walked back upstairs, right? So, husbands, that's why we have wives, to be able to figure those things out. The point here, though, is God is never going to pack his bags and leave us, is he? He's never going to say, "I've had enough, I'm out of here." This gets a little complicated. This, for those of you that know Julie, right? Julie Spire gave me a little help with this one, and she's a little higher thinker than me. But this is kind of where we get at, which God cannot withhold his love. Like, we can withhold a friendship because we want to leverage somebody, or a child can try to withhold their love because they want to leverage their boundaries, all right? So God is love. As well, God's nature is unchanging and he cannot lie. We are made in his image, and we are continually being conformed to his likeness. So he cannot look upon us without looking upon himself. So it kind of sounds like us looking at our kids, doesn't it? Right? We look at our kids, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and we see some of ourselves in there, don't we? All right? So if God is love, he cannot withhold love, and therefore he cannot withhold himself, right? So that's, and I think this is just something we get, right? The Bible tells us over and over again, right? God is not going to withhold his love. All right, number four. God cannot go unnoticed. Now, I don't mean like the Kardashians, all right? I don't mean like Joe Pesci when he walks into the courtroom and My Cousin Vinny, right? That guy's not going to go unnoticed. So what I mean here is in a couple of ways. Number one is I am absolutely and totally addicted to the outdoors. When I get my coffee every morning, I get up and I go out on the back porch and I sit there. In fact, this morning I was back there drinking it and there were a couple of deer, you know, walking around in the field back there. And I mean, how can you look at a beautiful sunrise? How can you look at an osprey flying by, a thunderstorm, whatever it is, and not think, dang, God is great, isn't he? In Job, it says, but ask the animals and they will teach you. The birds in the sky, and they will tell you. Or speak to the earth, and it will teach you. Or let the fish in the sea inform you. Which of all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? In his hand is the life of every creature and the breath of all mankind. Right? So God's done some great stuff there. Number two, this is kind of a different way of looking at it. Doesn't God, can he not go unnoticed by, he lays something on your heart and he just kind of leaves it there, doesn't he? And sometimes he'll keep reminding you of something over and over again, won't he? A couple of years ago, Mary Claire and I had made a pact that we were going to go skydiving up in Monroe. And we were not going to tell Catherine until we got up there and it was too late for her to intervene. So we get up there and we go through the thing and we get out there and we do a selfie in front of the Skydive Monroe sign, and we text it back to Catherine. We're going to do this thing. And she's like, oh, Lord, please no. So, you know, they line people up, and it takes a while to get people up, and they go, and they up, and they go. And so by the time our time came around, a storm had rolled in, and they were done for the day. Dang. And at that point, Catherine already driven up there with her mom. And she's like, you know, if you're going to kill yourselves, I'm going to watch it, right? So the second time we go to try to do it, we get up there, and what happens again? We get weathered out the second time. The third time, we get a call in the morning from the place, from the Skydive Monroe people, and they say, our plane is having a mechanical. We got to get it fixed. And Catherine looks at me and says, don't you think God's trying to tell you something, right? So, now sometimes, you know, if you think about God's creation, you just can't look out there and think, man, God really made something good here. And when he's laying something on your heart, listen. All right, fifth and final thing here is God cannot break a promise. Think about it. God cannot break a promise. Now, I'm going to say the beginning of a saying, and I want you all to finish it. Cross my heart and? All right. I just want to make sure nobody said anything about that needle in the eye, right? I can do without that part of it. All right. Kids know how important a promise is, don't they? Right? Promises are really important. Now, we make promises. We all make promises. We all break promises, don't we? Now, sometimes we break promises for the wrong reasons. Sometimes it's out of our control. So sometimes we say, you know what? Eric doesn't really need that. And if I don't do what I said or whatever it is, right, it's okay because I need it more, right? Or he won't even know, even though I made that promise. Sometimes it's something out of our control. You promise somebody, you know what? I'm going to be at your game this afternoon. I promise you I'll be there. And what happens? Maybe you get stuck in a traffic jam, you miss a flight, your car breaks down, you break a promise, and what happens after the game? You know, Dad, you promised you would be here, right? So we don't always intend to break promises. God has never broken a promise, has he? Of any sort or type, right? God has made a covenant with us, right? Covenant is what? It's a one-way promise that no matter what you do, I will still keep my end of it, right? That's, you know, God's not going to change on that. It's like no matter how far out of relationship we get with God, like the prodigal son, he is going to welcome us back with open arms, isn't he? He's promised us a lot of great things. He promised us abundant life. He's promised us to supply all our needs. I wish he'd supply a bunch more of our wants, but he has promised to supply all of our needs and that his love will never end. So, he has also kept some pretty tough promises, hasn't he? And praise team, come on back up here. I'm getting towards the end here. Now, especially after I cracked on Grady getting out of here, you knew that A, I got to start early, and B, I was going to get you out of here. But God has made some tough promises as well, hasn't he? Think about, he promised Israel prosperity for obedience and destruction for disobedience. And unfortunately, Israel chose disobedience, and God made good on his promise. So, God promises in Psalms this: my covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. Right? Now, that last part's really tough, because what do we want to do a lot of times when we say something, then we kind of want to change, you know, alter the word that came out of our lips? Well, that's not really what I said, right? God tells us what he tells us, and he's going to be there for us. He's not broken a promise yet, and I don't think he's going to break one yet. So, what are the five things? God cannot change. He's not going to pack up and go home on us. He can't turn back time as much as we'd love for him to be able to do that, but he gives us the blueprint to move forward. He cannot withhold his love. He is love, and he is not going to withhold himself. And he can't go unnoticed, because when he lays something on you, listen to it, because he's not going to go unnoticed. He hasn't broken a promise yet, and he's not going to. So I want to close with this, and you know, God is unable to do these things so that we can do all things through him, right? So God is unable to do these things so that we can do all things through him. So thanks for letting me share today. I'm going to try not to have the balloons on my hand next time. I'm going to let somebody else do that. But we love worshiping here with you all. This is a great home. Wonderful people. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for Grady and his guidance and leadership here. We thank you for all the many pieces of this church, from the praise band to the ministries to the children's ministries to everything we do here. We thank you for this community. We ask that as we go out this week, that we be good and bright lights for you, and know that because you cannot do these things, that we can do all things through you. Amen.